WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The holiday travel rush continues with roads and LAX expected to be packed in California. KNX's John Baird with more.
The reason for the crowded roadways is simple. Some people are coming home from a Christmas get-together with family or friends, and others are just leaving town to ring in the new year. Some people tell me they'll stay at home and sit this one out.
I live out here, so I'll be here for the holidays.
Is that good or bad?
It's great. I don't got to deal with traffic.
For the next few days, the advice is, if you're going on a trip, leave early or leave late to avoid all of the traffic.
A massive winter storm that blanketed the central U.S. in snow is moving east, bringing drenching rain and prompting flood watches and warnings from Florida to New England. Weather Channel meteorologist Mike Bettis.
New Year's Eve forecast for us for the ball drop in New York City. Dry temperatures should be in the 40s. As a whole, a lot of dry air out there, a lot of sunshine for us on New Year's Day itself. One area to watch that could include across the Gulf Coast, New Orleans to Atlanta. Rain showers in the forecast for 2024.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken takes part in closed-door talks in Mexico in an effort to tackle an influx of migrants at the U.S.-Mexico border. He met with President Andres Manuel López Obrador and other top Mexican officials. The BBC's Will Grant reports from Mexico City.
Currently, I think what Andres Manuel López Obrador wants is a sort of quid pro quo for a willingness to work with the Biden administration is improvement in the relations with Cuba and Venezuela, increased development aid for some of the countries of origin of these migrants.
Israel launches strikes across central and southern Gaza, broadening its fight. The World Health Organization warns that Gaza is in grave peril due to acute hunger and desperation throughout the territory. Qatar and Egypt had been negotiating for a possible exchange of hostages and prisoners. CBS contributor Robert Berger in Jerusalem.
Hostage negotiations are deadlocked because Israel and Hamas have diametrically opposed views on a ceasefire. Israel has offered a two-week ceasefire as the first stage of a limited prisoner swap, but Hamas says it won't release any hostages until Israel ends the war.
The New York Times is suing OpenAI and Microsoft, trying to end the practice of using its stories to train chatbots. CBS tech contributor Ian Schur has more on the federal suit filed today in Manhattan federal court.
As technologies like ChatGPT have grown, one of the things that's become clear is that they are built using information taken from the web. And oftentimes we're learning without the necessary copyright and licensing agreements.
This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
Toasting to the new year? This celebration has been going on around the world
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. We may soon know the fate of a Universities of Wisconsin chancellor after the Board of Regents met in closed session Wednesday night. They met to discuss the potential discipline or termination of a university chancellor, though they did not say which chancellor they were looking at. La Crosse's Joe Gow and Whitewater's Beverly Copper were the last chancellors to be sanctioned by the Board of Regents. They were denied pay raises in 2018. The 7 days of Kwanzaa are underway. Nichelle Hayes says the African-American celebration includes readings, artistic performances, and food.
And it's not so much about commercial gifts as coming together, reflection, learning, understanding, and community.
Kwanzaa was first celebrated in the 1960s in response to racial and economic unrest. I'm Nate Wuggehoe, Civic Media News.
The Packers suspend Ja Money. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers suspend defensive back Jaire Alexander for one game after he trotted out to the coin toss before the Packers kickoff against the Carolina Panthers, nearly disrupting the process. Defensive back Eric Stokes.
You can see when he went out there and all that stuff, I was sitting down on the sideline. Right then, when I looked up, he was out there. So it was too much more. It wasn't no more to say.
Packers GM Brian Gutekunst announcing Alexander moved to the reserve suspended list. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, that's something that we made together, and it's unfortunate that, you know, we're at that juncture, and felt like it was in the best interest long term.
LaFleur on the decision to suspend Alexander before Sunday night's game against the Vikings. What is Jair like in the locker room? I asked Eric Stokes.
As a teammate, he's a great guy, man. Like, he's a guy that you'll go to battle with, who you'll go to war with, because you know for a fact at the end of the day, like, he's giving his all. So, like, no matter what, like, I love a guy like that.
That's Packers defensive back Eric Stokes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the upper 20s. And more clouds around for tomorrow, high upper 30s. But sunshine returns for Friday, warming up to a 40 high. A mix of sun and clouds Saturday, high in the low 30s and a little breezy, partly sunny in upper 20s for Sunday. Currently, it's 26.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
One, two, three,
broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Now, a guy who gives edible undies as gifts just because they taste good, Pete Schwabba.
Guilty as charged. Welcome back. Welcome back to Wednesday of Limbo Week, the week between Christmas and New Year's. A lot of people don't know what to make of this week. Do you go back to work? Do you take some time off? Or do you pull a Schwabba and do you binge watch? That's what we're going to talk about here. Coming up in just a few minutes, Madison filmmaker James Runde joins us for a discussion about independent films. Shot in and around Madison, James wrote a very funny short film called White and Lazy. We'll play a clip from that a little later. Very funny stuff and a very talented filmmaker. So as we mentioned, the days are getting longer by 30 seconds a day, which doesn't sound like a lot. But since the winter solstice, we've added 3 minutes of day. 3 minutes of daylight, something to cling to. So we're talking about earlier, too, about people that passed away in 2023. Tommy Smothers passed away. One half of the Smothers brothers. We'll have to come up with some stuff for him tomorrow night. He's very funny, very talented comedy duo, the old timers. Our question tonight is, what should we rename the day after Christmas to make it the happiest day of the year? We've had some good suggestions. But we could use some more. 920-264-0606. That's kind of a thinker. Conrad, we kind of put a thinker out there to people. I don't know if they're... The text line is not going crazy tonight like it usually does.
No.
So this is a tough one. Here's some of the ones that were suggested to me. Happy Christ Past. Christmas Past, I assume, is what my cousin meant there. Tis the 26th-iest, with an exclamation point. And they say the tis the is the most important part. Happy Gift Us Return Us Day. Conrad's contribution was Merry Burp Day, because you eat a lot Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Makes sense. You have some indigestion the day after Christmas. Merry Recycle Us Bin Overflow Us Day. I think that's, judging by Conrad's laugh, we'll go with that one for now. So, and I should have mentioned, you know, he's not really... I consider sports entertainment, you know, because you don't really know. It's an unfinished script in a sporting event, whether it's a marathon or gymnastics, football, basketball. You just don't know. So I'm a sports fan because I love to be entertained. I love not knowing how something is going to end. So it's worth mentioning. Today is Brock Purdy's birthday. He is Mr. Insignificant, the last guy taken in the draft. And Conrad, you're a sports guy. I'm a fan. That's my involvement in sports ends there, besides being a bench warmer when I was in high school. But Brock Purdy, the San Francisco 49ers really bother me, because I think they've won like more Super Bowls than anyone, maybe they're right up there with the Steelers and the Packers. But they trade away like the future, to get Christian McCaffrey. They trade 3 first-round draft picks, I think it was, to draft the guy from North Dakota State, Trey Lance. So I don't even know. They gave up at least like 5 number one picks, other high draft picks. And then they're screwed. And they go out and sign Jimmy Garoppolo, who's like not Mr. Insignificant, but Mr. Mediocre. He does okay, but he's injury prone. So they get rid of him. And they start the last guy in the draft, who before this last weekend was maybe the favorite for MVP of the league. I mean, how is that even, you back into an all-star quarterback after you've mortgaged your future? Do you know how infuriating that is? Conrad, thoughts?
Well, I got to say, he is a very lucky man to have the people who he has on this team.
True, he is surrounded, yeah.
Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel.
Correct.
Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle.
Yeah.
And talk about an all-star
defense,
yeah. Line, too. Talk about the defense. Their team is just solid as a whole. So, I think in a different situation, you might not succeed as well as he's doing now, but I think he is a great quarterback.
Hey, tip of my hat to him. I have no issue with him. It's just, I don't like it when the franchise has a horseshoe wedged somewhere. That's just not karmic. It's just wrong that they draft. The last guy in the draft turns out, hey, we got a winner. 7th round, last pick.
The last people to do that.
Nailed that one.
Patriots, you know, with Tom Brady. So,
was he the last guy taken?
Yeah, he was Mr. Relevant, I believe.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that worked out okay.
just all right.
But it's true, though. Like, fantasy football, I have as much luck picking a good quarterback as some of these GMs. They're wrong half the time, even on a top pick or first-round quarterback pick. I mean, they know, but they don't, you know? Now he's silent all of a sudden. Conrad?
Yep.
All right. So we're going to talk. What are you watching? Because this is the binge watching season. For the next few minutes, we want to talk about what we're watching. Here's what I watched. And, you know, chime in. Let me know. Text me your thoughts if you have watched any of these. But have you Leave the World Behind, Mahershala Ali, Julia Roberts, Ethan Hawke. I enjoyed it. It was kind of a creepy film. I never really knew where it was going. It's right there on Netflix, ready for the taking or the watching. And then, like I mentioned to Rob Thomas when he was here a few minutes ago, I watched American Manhunt, the Boston Marathon bomber story. Now, I'd seen the movie. I think it was called Patriot's Day. Really enjoyed it. Mark Wahlberg. It was a good film. Very, you know, you met the real characters in this documentary. And I do love watching how police track down bad guys or people that commit these horrible crimes. It's just so fascinating to me how they're able to find these guys. So the movie was good. The documentary was good. And like I told Rob, I did see Maestro. And I liked Maestro. I didn't love it as a movie. I'm not huge on biopics. Like, sometimes they're just kind of like, okay, they're just telling. Yeah, I could read Wikipedia. This is a reenactment of that in some ways. However, Bradley Cooper is outstanding. And hair and makeup is outstanding. It's shot beautifully. And Leonard Bernstein had a great life and a very interesting life. He dealt with a lot of personal issues over his life and his family, and it was interesting. But it is long, and it's a biopic. So I liked it about as much as I can like a biopic. Conrad, what are you watching?
So I watched 2 movies over the little Christmas break.
Yeah.
I watched an animated movie called Klaus on Netflix, which is about how the story of Christmas came to be. And it was about actually a postman who got rewired to a lonely island where all the people on the island are mad at each other.
Hmm.
And it tells the story of Klaus, who was Santa Claus, but wasn't, you know. So he makes gifts and everything, and the postman delivers it to children, and it turns into a happy village. So,
all right.
It's a great movie. I liked it. It's not one of my favorite Christmas movies, but
but good enough.
It. Yeah.
That's the thing with Christmas movies. Even if they're not great, it's like, I think you cut them some more slack, or you're a little more forgiving, because you want to be entertained. You want to be entertained by a Christmas movie. So Candy Cane Lane might not be It's a Wonderful Life or Elf for that matter, but you stick with it. It makes you feel good enough. I'll have to put that on my list for next year. And I haven't seen Spirited yet. A lot of people were talking about Spirited with Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell as being a really good Christmas movie too. Did you see any of the movies on Rob's list? The top 10 for 2023?
Yeah, I went to see Oppenheimer.
Okay.
You know, when I was in theaters.
Yeah.
I never saw Barbie in theaters, so I can't say I did a full Barbenheimer experience, but I did watch Barbie on Max when I came out, so.
Okay. What'd you think of Barbie?
It was great. Ryan Gosling did amazing in that.
He was funny. And Margot Robbie's great.
Yeah, yeah.
I love her. She was great in, did you see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the Tarantino film?
I have not.
Oh, my gosh. To me, it's my favorite Tarantino film. And she's so great in it. She plays Sharon Tate, who in real life was killed by the Manson crew. But Tarantino, like he does in so many films, takes liberties with history. And in this, it totally works. I loved it. It was great. But did you see, what is it, The Holdovers? Did you see that? Were we talking about that?
The Holdovers? Yeah. No, I haven't seen that
one. What about Mission Impossible?
Nope, I have not seen that.
I love Rob's list because I agree with him quite a bit. So I'm going to check out this list. But if you guys are looking for stuff to watch between now and New Year's, I found another list on what I like to call the World Wide Web. And now I've lost the website, but they ranked their most bingeable shows. Suspenseful Thrillers was at the top of the list. A Murder at the End of the World. I did try this. It's on Hulu, I think, by way of FX. There's one season on there. I have to be honest, I'm having trouble. It's kind of a sci-fi type thing, and I'm struggling. I've sat down twice to watch the pilot, two sittings. I can't get through it. I got about 10 minutes left. I'll probably finish the pilot, but right now, it's not doing it for me. Slow Horses is on their list. Rob Thomas mentioned that. That's on his top 10 list. I did watch The Night Agent, which I liked. It was on Netflix. There's one season. And it's about an FBI agent who is kind of on the mend. He gets injured. I think it was a bombing. I saw it quite a while ago. But they relegate him to a room in the White House that's downstairs. And you're there monitoring a phone that never rings. So you're there overnight at the White House in the basement with a phone, and on this particular night, it rings. And this guy, Peter Sutherland is the main character's name, gets involved in this like deadly conspiracy where there's a White House mole. It's just a really fun, fast-paced. If you are looking for something to binge watch, I highly recommend The Night Agent. There is a love story, and it's pretty straightforward. Hollywood is really into these flawed characters. Everyone's a flawed character now. This guy's a brilliant detective, but he's got a drug problem. And that's fine. I like interesting characters. But this is kind of just a straight-up love story. But it kind of moves. I like it. It's called The Night Agent, and it's on Netflix. Highly recommend it. What else is on this list? Fargo. Love the first two seasons. The Bear. Conrad, you watch The Bear?
That's the chef, right? Yeah. I wanted to watch it, but I never got to it yet.
Okay. That's fair. And then The Lincoln Lawyer are the ones on this list that I really like, too. I highly recommend. I like the movie, and I like the show as well. It's lots of fun. So there's some binge-watching ideas for you from Pete and Conrad. You're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabo. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Madison filmmaker James Runday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Welcome back. Thanks for being with me on a Wednesday night. It's a hump day. It's the hump day between Christmas and New Year's, which to me would probably be the most exciting hump day of the year. But who am I to judge? We got a text here from the 920. Steve from Little Torch Key says we should call December 26th. The 26th of December should be called Mary, I Survived the In-Laws Day. That's true. You make through. That's a happy day. I get along pretty well with my in-laws. They don't like me, but that's a good one. I don't know. Conrad, should that, does that dethrone Mary Recyclist Bin Overflowist Day?
I don't think it sounds enough like a Christmas holiday. So, you know,
yeah.
I think I'll put that at second right now.
He's just shooting straight from the hip.
Exactly.
Let's just say, happy glad my in-laws are no longer in town day. Happy love the taillights day.
There we go.
Thanks, Steve. That's a great one, though. Yeah, I think this question is overwhelming. We're not getting the volume of texts we usually get, but we will keep at it. What do you think? I got to read it again here. What do you think? We're trying to rebrand. It all started. December 26th is the most depressing day of the year, by and large, or it's kind of a popular opinion that December 26th is the most depressing day of the year. So tonight's question is, what should we rename the day after Christmas to make it the happiest day of the year? And so far, our winner is Merry Recyclist Bin Overflowist Day, because there's a lot of wrapping paper and your garbage is always full after the holidays. So, but yeah, this is a good one from the 920. I Survived the In-Laws Day. I'm sure a lot of people are thinking along those lines. So in just a couple minutes, we're going to welcome James Runday into the program. He is a Wisconsin filmmaker. He makes great short independent films, and I believe he's working on a feature. I'm always excited to see what he comes up with. And we just gave you guys some good suggestions to binge watch this week, because this is a big binge watch. And Rob Thomas is a film critic, so he's the guy. And if he agrees with me, then I gotta take him at his word. Slow Horses, Rob recommends. That's one of his favorite. Gary Oldman leads a vibrant cast of dysfunctional characters in this quirky-witted British spy drama. I thought it sounded a little bit like Stripes. He called it kind of a Bad News Bears type situation, calling it an assorted team of MI5 agents and the relentless boss trying to outwit many forces for the good of their country. But supposedly they're like the minor leagues of the agency. So that's Slow Horses, and I recommended The Night Agent. Kind of one I had forgotten about, but a guy is relegated to the lowest floor of the White House in a room overnight, monitoring a phone that never rings. But when it actually does ring, you're in it, and something bad is going down, and it's a really fun watch, and it really moves. The other ones I didn't get to before the break, I really like Lincoln Lawyer. Like I said, I like the movie, but the show is really well cast. It's by the same producers that do the show Bosch, which we heard a clip earlier from that we played in honor of Lance Reddick, who passed away this year. But the Lincoln Lawyer is great. He's just like a really slick guy who really believes, when he really gets behind a client, believes he's innocent, he finds creative ways to get them off. A little bit like Saul Goodman in Better Call Saul, but this is a little more hip and fast pace. Just a really fun kind of LA drama show. And it's he's a really interesting character. I actually like the character of Mickey Haller in the TV show better than I liked the movie Mickey Haller. Actually, I don't even remember if that was his name, but it was Matthew McConaughey, who I like and was good in the movie. I like the TV show better, I have to say. And I like the guy who plays Mickey Haller. I think he's got a better backstory, and he's just kind of a more fun, well-rounded character. That's my opinion. And then The Bear. I just started season two about a week ago and got distracted for the holidays, but I'll return to that because I liked the first season a lot. Kind of a chef cooking drama and a really fun show. So I'm looking, everyone that I know that watched the second season of The Bear like is doing backflips over it. So I'm excited to tune into the second season. Okay. So right now, it is my pleasure to welcome into the show. He's an award-winning independent filmmaker from Madison, Wisconsin. He makes great, insightful short films. They can be funny, slice of life. He's just got his finger on the pulse of sort of human beings, and especially human beings in the Midwest, which I really like too. James Runday joins me now. Hey, James.
Hey, how's it going? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. How's it going? How was your Christmas, buddy?
It was okay, man. It was an odd Christmas, I have to say. I mean, I still have yet. Okay, the Rundy Christmas hasn't even happened. The Rundy Christmas is really on New Year's.
Oh, no.
My mom's family had Christmas. They take up the actual holy day. And my dad's family, my dad's one of 11. And I have about 35 cousins on my dad's side. So that's a whole, that's a bash.
You don't buy gifts for all of them.
No.
Go broke.
It's like everybody brings beer, you know, that type of thing.
Okay. Sounds like a good old-fashioned family, Wisconsin family Christmas.
Yep. You nailed it.
That's excellent. I like that when you have to celebrate Christmas before, like my wife's family, we did it on like December 9th. You kind of have to fake it. It's like, I'm not really ready for this, but we're playing.
Yeah.
I'm hearing Need a Little Christmas on the radio. We're playing it, and it's like, okay, yeah, it's Christmas, but it's not really. You're sort of living a lie.
Exactly. And that's why the Rundies always go after Christmas, because they're like, well, we know everybody else is going to get their, you know what, together and get the and meet up on Christmas Day. Right. And
the Rundies could use a few extra days.
Yeah, we need a few more days and everybody can gather all their people and come on down. And there's always a Rundy gathering always is like, you know how a shark swims through the water and it's a massive creature and then all these other little fish cling to it thinking, oh, that's a big scary thing. I might as well leech onto it, you know. Always a Rundy gathering is like this for hangers on and loners will all, you know, suddenly the Rundy gathering has all these people that I don't recognize at it because we're at a hotel and people are like, oh, there's a party going on. Maybe there's a cute girl in there, you know what I mean? And then suddenly
there's a lot of free beer, it sounds
there's
like
a lot of people. Yeah, exactly. And suddenly you got it's just like beyond the family.
Oh, that's great. That sounds like another film idea, because I would love to see your take on that. That's good stuff. So I kind of don't know where to start. We have to take a break in about 1 minute, but I'm hoping you can hang with us. But I didn't just have you on to talk about your Christmas, James.
I assume
you knew that. But,
that's fine.
Tell us, just like we have to go to break in like a minute, so we might as well talk about Christmas a little more. No.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
Yeah. So are you working on something now? And when we come after the break, we can get into more details. But are you in like 30 seconds? You got something cooking?
Yes. Okay. So I had a short in the film festival a couple years ago called Connection. And it's a still, and I don't even want to describe too much of this, lest somebody steal this idea.
Sure.
Because smart. It's so good.
You know so what? Everybody... I'm going to stop you. This is getting juicy. I'm going to stop you right there. I want to hear this in full. I don't want to cut you off right at the crescendo. So my guest is James Runday. He just got here, folks. Don't go away. We're going to be back in a couple minutes. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. We got James Runday.
Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire. The time to hesitate is through. No time to wallow in the mire. Try now, we can only lose. And our love become a funeral pyre. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire.
Now.
93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Expect plenty of company on the roads this week heading into New Year's Eve celebrations. This Colorado woman heading to the mountain says her challenges.
Watching out for all the people that aren't paying attention. They're all on their phones. They're talking to each other. And it's just like they just want to go, go, go.
A storm system is heading toward central and northern California, and the Midwest and Northeast are in for another stormy stretch. More from Weather Channel meteorologist Mike Bettis.
Periods of heavy rain slowing down holiday travel here along I-95 and some of the airports, and cold enough to bring some snow across the Midwest, including a couple of inches of accumulation in and around St. Louis.
A U.S. delegation meets with Mexico's government on the migrant influx as officials clear a border tent camp on the banks of the Rio Grande River. The BBC's Rob Young reports.
The U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is holding talks with the Mexican president, who has predicted that next year's U.S. presidential election will bring migration to the top of the agenda.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Former U.S. Senator and owner of the Milwaukee Bucks, Herb Kohl, has died. He was 88 years old. Kohl's death was announced Wednesday evening by the Herb Kohl Foundation. Kohl bought the Bucks in 1985 and was instrumental in keeping the Bucks in Milwaukee. Kohl also represented Wisconsin in the U.S. Senate from 1988 until 2012, when he decided not to run for re-election. Android phone users in Wisconsin can expect some of a $700 million nationwide antitrust lawsuit settlement with Google. Alexandra Sosnowski is New Hampshire's assistant attorney general.
With antitrust and this injunctive relief, the hope is that the markets will open up and there could be future competitors that enter the space.
About 100 million eligible customers in all 50 states will split the settlement. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to like have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money.
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripescast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the upper 20s. And more clouds around for tomorrow, high upper 30s. But sunshine returns for Friday, warming up to a 40 high. A mix of sun and clouds Saturday, high in the low 30s and a little breezy, partly sunny in upper 20s for Sunday. Currently, it's 26.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Tell a friend what's on tap.
There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, broadcasting statewide from City Deck in Green Bay at the WGBW studios. Great to be with you. Hey, if you haven't downloaded the Civic Media app yet, please do. It's so easy to use. You have access to every show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's very easy to interact with the show and send all your favorite hosts texts. Keep it clean and be part of the show. But it's a great app, and I highly recommend it. I'm talking with Madison filmmaker James Runday. James, welcome back. Thanks for hanging with us. How you doing?
It's great to be here. I'm doing great. You know, I'm actually happy to hear this voice. Honestly, as a young lad on Director's Cut, you were a beacon to me for your work on that show for PBS Wisconsin, and having me on that show, and I don't know. And
then the pleasure.
We have a long history, anyway.
We do, and you were a great guest, and I don't even think I booked you, but I was happy they did because I got to meet you, and I'm already buying you a beer. You don't have to keep going, but thanks for the nice words. or I'm coming to your family Christmas to get a beer, which it sounds like it's
all right. Interview over.
So, all right. So, tell us a little bit. First, I want to get to one of your films. This is one of my all-time favorite short films, and I think you know that. It's called White and Lazy. And tell us a little bit about the film and where people can see it. Give us a brief synopsis, then we're going to hear a clip.
All right. Okay. Tell us about the film. So this was my senior year of college. I wanted to make a film. It's on 16 millimeter.
Oh, nice.
It's a slacker stoner comedy about a young man trying to collect the rent from his eccentric roommates. And all of them have these crazy excuses. You know, for why they can't come up with the rent. And he's kind of trying to, you know, he's a people pleaser. He's a nice guy. And we just see him struggling with just laying down the law. And then eventually he gets left holding the bag. So it's a satire on white hipsters.
Yeah. And I love it because they're all kind of stoners living in the house. And your character is sort of one of them too, but he's like the responsible one.
Yeah, you're like, this guy got elected.
Oh my God, it's so great. And the film is so Madison. Like, I think there's one scene where you're like at the table in your kitchen eating breakfast, eating cereal, and these two dudes come in carrying a canoe behind you. And you're just like ducking, like, and you don't really even question them. It's just like, oh, it's just a couple dudes bringing a canoe into your college apartment. You have it's got so much charm like that. So, we're going to hear a clip now from the film. Tell us a little bit about what's going on in this clip that you sent me with White and Lazy.
This clip is this is kind of when this movie starts to get rolling and people start to understand that he's trying to collect the rent. You know, you see him write out the rent check, and there's a few odd like character building scenes, but this is where it starts to really kind of hit its stride. And this is the first roommate. It's a female roommate where he really has to try and lay down the law. And she's, you know, painting her toenails, which he comments on. It's a nice shade, you know, and which he's interrupting her. And she's kind of annoyed with him. And she gives him her excuse for why she can't come up with the rent. So
beautiful. All right, Conrad, roll it.
Salam.
Howdy. That's a nice shade.
Oh, thanks. What's up?
Well, I'm just running around to everyone's room just because Kurt wants the rent checks today, so just wondering if he had the cash.
Oh, it's the first?
Yeah, it's the first. I mean, it's okay if I can just swing you around, if you know, okay. That's an IOU, or... This is your social security number, right?
No, it's my bank account. You can just, you know, go to the credit union and take whatever's in there. It's like right around the corner.
What the hell? Okay, well, but I mean, I'm just not sure. The banks, they don't deal in this kind of manner.
I mean,
but
I don't know. Just tell Kurt, you know.
Well, I gotta tell Kurt something. I can't just. It's just. He's not gonna do it. This is just not. I don't think he's going to think this is kosher.
I kind of got to get back to this.
Well, I don't care if you got to get back. I don't give a damn if you got to get back. The note is, I don't know about. I mean, this. Okay. All right. Well, okay.
See you later.
Yep. Okay.
Ah, that's so great. And then, okay, I think it's the same scene, James, where you you make she's like she kind of is in some conflict about what date it is, and then you realize her calendar's like 2 years old.
Yeah,
or something like
that. I was debating giving you that scene too. Like that one's actually in some ways the bookend of this scene. It's like this is the first one, and then that one ends trying to collect the roommate scene. Like after that, he's like had enough, and he just tries to go and give the landlord what he's got. You know,
that
last one where she's in the kimono and she misreads the calendar because she has last year's calendar,
and she says something like, "I still make my appointments or something." By the day
of the week, yeah.
So where can people see White and Lazy?
Yeah, they can see it on YouTube. You know,
okay.
I'm not a snob, people. You know, you can get that one for free.
Hey, look at this.
It's 16 millimeter. It's just okay. So one thing I want to say for all the film nerds out there, if you are interested in the art and the medium of film, this will intrigue you. This film was shot on 16 millimeter, and it was originally transferred only into 480p, essentially, on an old telecine for broadcast television. This was the standard in the 90s and the 2000s for anybody that grew up watching the CRT TVs. Anything from that era, Seinfeld, MASH, any of that would have been taken through this transfer process. That's how it was initially transferred. So it looked kind of crappy. Now, recently, the Comm Arts department at the UW upgraded their film scanner to a 4K film scanner. So I was able to go back and retransfer White and Lazy. So it is HD. It looks really nice. Even on YouTube, it looks nice. So for those of you that are interested in what film looks like versus digital, that may be a touchstone, and it gives it a 90s college kind of, it's an homage to, you know, the Clerks and Slacker and
yeah
all that.
Oh, great comp. Yeah, so. I highly recommend it. I'm talking to James Runde. He's a Madison filmmaker, and we're talking about his film White and Lazy. It was a short. If you have 20 minutes or what is it, 25 minutes, James, go check it out.
Oh, not even. It's 15 now. I slimmed down the cut when I retransferred it. And all the diehard White and Lazy fans don't understand what I cut out.
Oh,
but
that's fantastic.
I shaved out almost 4 minutes of the film. It was originally almost 20 minutes. Now it's down to 15, 45, mostly out of the credits. But like anybody even that saw this in its glory days has no idea what I cut out. It is just it's just a tighter. It's 15 minutes long. It's not much of your time. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
it's a college, you know.
You didn't cut the comedy, though.
That's no, good. It's all there. There's no, all the timing is the same. It's literally scene transitions and a few, you know, awkward moments. Nothing good. Nothing good was cut.
Fantastic. So let's, just so we get this in before the break too, let's play a scene. Tell us a little bit. You sent us a clip from Played Out, and I think I hosted a Q&A at the Wisconsin Film Festival after Played Out. Mm-hmm. Or no, I don't think I did, because my son's film played right before
Played Out,
if I remember correctly. Yeah.
So right.
Tell us a little bit about Played Out. I love the title. And tell us what's going on in this clip. It was such a great, just like looking in on a world type film. I just loved it.
Yeah. Played Out is a weird one. I love that film. I want to just say all the people that worked on that film are my true people. I love all of them so much. Like, I just can't say how good of an experience that film was. And I learned so much doing it. And it's a slice of life about Madison, and it's really earnest. You know what I mean? It's very kind of in the moment documentary. I wrote this when I was really young, and I just was thinking, who are the people in my life that I could actually make a film about? Who are the interesting people that would be, actually down to trust a young, like,
because it was a real family, right? That you,
yeah, it's
that
real
you
family.
Used as actors.
Real
yeah.
Families. Yeah, exactly. Like my bandmate, somebody I toured with, in terms of Buddha, I actually was on the road with him and his hip hop acts. You know, he had multiple artists that were on his label and stuff like that. So my friend Tim. And then my bandmate Leslie was the other star of the movie. And she, has a family that stars in the film as well. And so it was kind of a lot of trust for these people to put into, I was really just 22 and 3 at this time. Oh. So I look back and I just kind of think, like, God, I'm lucky that this film actually just wasn't downright embarrassing. And it's actually really good. And it's actually, I think it's really good. And it's the problem with this movie, though, is that it's a bad length. So I feel like it didn't get its due in terms of a distribution. And then I have to confess that this is actually a good topic for all those young filmmakers out there that have your film on a hard drive. Back that thing up. Right now, if you're out there and you care about movies, back up your hard drives. You know what I mean? And this is something that people are going to run into more and more, is that films will be lost because of hard drive failures. You know what I mean?
Back it up on two hard drives, right?
Or yeah, seriously. The cloud and a hard drive. And this was a film that went through that. I plugged it in one time and suddenly the whole file system got obliterated and scrambled, and I had to go and, like, you know, take it to, you know, data specialists and try and get it to figure it out, and eventually we were able to restore it, but it's never quite gotten a proper distribution. It played at the Wisconsin Film Festival. The cut I have it in currently is actually beyond that, and I hope to re-release it. And it's almost on the cusp of being ready to re-release. It's almost all the way restored. So people have seen this, and it's not much change from what people have seen, but it's a vivid portrait of musicians and creative people and the struggles they go through if they're just working class and day-to-day, you know, their day-to-day lives where they have to negotiate kids and families and, you know, and it's just really trying to, like, as a creative person, I always think of, like, you know, it's almost like the tarot or the signs, you know, everybody, there's just a certain amount of artists and there's a certain amount of creatives that, you know, the creator or whatever you believe in has splattered through the universe. And a lot of them don't get the chance to be Elvis or Taylor Swift or whoever the hell, and they have to live in their communities and they have to play in their local bands and all that kind of stuff. And that's what this movie is about.
And what I loved about it, the charm about it for me, was, like you said, you got Buddha, who was the hip hop artist, and his family, they trusted you. And then you've got your what was her name again?
Leslie
and her family. And she's, like, much older. It's just a great mix of people in the film. Yeah. So let's play that clip, Conrad, before we go to break.
This house looks ridiculous.
What?
What happened here today?
What happened?
What is with the Cheerios?
I'll tell you, see, we started off, you know, food was cool.
You started off sleep.
I wasn't sleep.
Then what were you doing? Since you weren't sleep, you was doing Cheerios too?
I was doing this, and, you know, it was my day off.
Just wondering how the Cheerios got everywhere.
What?
You don't even know. You probably weren't even awake.
You know how they got everywhere. Look at this. Look what I'm dealing with.
Whatever.
Fat. What were you doing? I got some bad news. I gotta go out tonight.
Why?
Because Ice and Jay want to take me out for the album. Being done and all that stuff, so they want me to go out. Downtown, some.
Get to it. Get your kids, get the broom, and get to work.
Mom.
What? Oh. Yep. No, you're going to help your dad clean up.
No.
Yes.
Oh, that's so great. That's a clip from that, Played Out.
Yeah, and it's like, with the visuals, it's like, so he's holding, I should have set that clip up. So he's holding his son.
Yeah.
And that's who's, like, the child is, like, kind of interrupting their conversation over and over again.
And it's so great. It's just like the unglamorous side. What regular people have to go through to be creative at night and to chase their dreams. This guy's got to clean up cereal and he probably can't wait to get out of the house and go sing or dance or whatever, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's so great. And all right, we have to take another quick break, James. This one's only a minute. Can you hang?
Yeah.
All right. And we're going to wrap up the show. If you're in Madison, please continue listening. Mad Unity is up next, about the Madison, Wisconsin music scene. So if you're in the Madison area, stick around for Mad Unity. James, you'd probably dig it too, so I highly recommend it. But we're going to be right back with James Runday, and I have more questions for him. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Memories get in the way. I walk around. I can't hear a sound, folks talking loud, but I don't see at all. I gotta get away, gotta get away. I don't
know where to go. It's hopeless, so I guess I'll leave it alone.
Well, I spent all that day.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
We are in the home stretch of Night Lights here, coming down to the wire the Wednesday between Christmas and New Year's. Our question tonight was, what should we rename the day after Christmas to make it the happiest day of the year? So far, Conrad says our winner is Merry Recycle-us, Bin Overflow-us Day. We got another text. This has nothing to do with our holiday. We haven't had many suggestions. I think we burdened the listeners with that one. But nice that your guests give you a shout-out. Shows you're righteous. Well, if that was sarcastic, I'll take it because it's true. And if it was just nice, I'll take it because I love having friends on the show, especially friends I really respect that make great films. So, James, before I'm talking to James Ronda, he's a Madison filmmaker, and we heard clips from White and Lazy and Played Out, two great films that both won awards, if memory serves, at the Wisconsin Film Festival recently. Before we went to the first break, you started to talk about your new upcoming film, but it sounds like you didn't want to disclose any state secrets. So can you elaborate a little more where that conversation was headed?
No, I mean, it's already out there on public forums, so people know that it's comprised. If you follow me, nobody probably does.
But, well, if they follow you, I hope they're listening to this show. So we can help each other out.
I built it up. Whatever.
That's all anyway, right.
The thing is about it, it's all told in photographs. It's Ken Burns. It's La Jetée. It's all told in black and white, grainy, still 35 millimeter photographs, which I took myself. Okay. Throughout.
Oh, I saw this. You played this at the most recent festival. Yeah. That was so cool.
Well, not even the most 2 years ago. So 2 years ago was, but it's part of what I want to be a feature film. It's going to be a feature mockumentary film, but don't spread that far and wide because I want it to eventually kind of be like a Blair Witch Project thing where people don't quite know if it's real because I keep sending this clip to a friend and she keeps forgetting that it's me in the clip. And so she'll send back. She'll be like, wow, that's a compelling interview. Like, where'd you find that guy? And I'm like, that's me. It'd be especially funny if you knew that the film is about aliens, right? So I'm playing a guy who's convinced that I've had contact with extraterrestrials and they've actually shown me a new way to communicate and to experience the universe or whatever, so basically what happens is that in a dive bar in a far-flung city in rural Michigan,
love it,
an alien touches my head, my forehead, and gives me a vision of my childhood and of my wife that has passed away, and I interpret this signal. You know what I mean? And it sends me on this quest to figure out this method of communication and the beyond. Because then after he does this, he zooms off into the sky. You know?
That's so great. And that's such a departure from what you've done, it seems like. Although it's not, because you do like to do different things. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm always mixing it up. And the thing is this is a pandemic film, so this is kind of another hook. During the pandemic, I was working from home and I would be a lot of times just kind of like watching my email, but like not really doing a whole lot. So while I'm watching my email, I would start scanning in all my old photographs, which I had taken since 2014, so it's been like 10 years of film photography for me. And there's, you know, upwards of 1,000 photographs. So I was scanning them all in, you know, and trying to, you know, make them look nice and take the dust and scratches away. And I'm thinking, like, this is a movie, you know, all these different scenes. I have photos from Africa. I have photos from, you know, like all these crazy places I was.
And they're hypnotic. The photos.
And what you've seen is not even a quarter. I mean, not even a drop. Like what's in the short is just nothing compared to the images that you'll see, like rodeos, rural Senegal, the American West, you know, Austin, Texas, South by Southwest, Mardi Gras, like wouldn't you name it? Like it's that's in cool. this movie. Well, so they're all black and white stills. It's a good old American B movie. It's like an alien, you know, horror. It's got elements of that. It's got elements of spirituality. It's everything.
Very stylistic too. I would assume it will be when we. Hey, is Madison a good town to be a filmmaker? We got about 1 minute left, James. Unfortunately, yeah. I have 12,000 more questions. But how is Madison as a filmmaker town? Good town to shoot films in.
Yeah, I mean, I think okay. Listen, I can't compare it to anything else. So. Okay. I'll start.
So it's great.
Yeah.
And the worst.
Yeah, right. I think people are generally pretty helpful, like especially locations. People want to help and also actors. There's actually pretty acting talent. And if anybody out there is an amateur filmmaker, I think musicians especially make good actors. And I think there's quite a few like talented musicians in Madison, and I think that performing on stage is similar to performing in front of the camera. And I think that you can make a lot go with that. And that's kind of what I did with Played Out.
That's really interesting. What is your band called, James? You want to do a quick plug for the music?
Well, yeah. And so people watching Played Out will be hearing The Smells. That was my original band. But then my current band is called The Scratch Offs. And that's kind of like, if you like the Rolling Stones and if you like The Replacements, and if you like R&B and soul and Aretha Franklin and Elvis and anything good about America, then you'll like The Scratch Offs. So,
well, you'll have to come back when we have more time, buddy, because this has been fun. And I wish you luck with the new film. I can't wait to see it.
Good. Cool. Thanks, Pete. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Have a great night. Thanks. That's James Runde. Thank you, buddy. Great filmmaker from Madison. I highly recommend going to YouTube and looking for White and Lazy. And I think he said Played Out was there too. So check out James's work. He's got a new one coming out soon. Hey, this was really fun. I hope we gave you guys some good suggestions to watch. I got another texter here. Oh, also from the 414. No sarcasm. So that was just a nice hearted text. Thank you. And thanks for all the texts and the suggestions. You guys are always welcome to text anytime about what you're watching anytime. This is an open forum. I like discussion and I like discourse. So keep those texts coming. Great stuff. Stick around for Mad Unity if you're listening in Madison. Great show, great music show. And that's about it. I'd like to thank my guests, Rob Thomas and James Runde. We'll be back tomorrow night with more Nightlight and Friday as well. Got some great guests coming up on Friday, and we'll be talking more binge watching tomorrow night. You won't want to miss that. So thanks for listening and hanging out with me. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5 The Tap. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.